Now again, we repeat the welcome given earlier. We're glad that you've come. We welcome you in the Saviour's name. And I'm going to ask you tonight to turn, first of all, please, to the book of the Psalms. The book of the Psalms. And the Psalm number 126. Psalm 126. Verse 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. And then there's a response, the Lord hath done great things for us, we are glad. Over, please, to the verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. A final reading, please, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul's letter to the Ephesians and the second chapter. Ephesians chapter 2, and down there, please, at the verse 8. Ephesians 2 and 8. Paul is speaking to Christians. He said, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And God will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts tonight. I want to, with the time that we have, I want to give you tonight the story of how it is that I'm here in this gospel hall in Kamloops, and very, very glad to be here, I have to add. So glad to be here. Glad to be here for this meeting. Glad to be here for these meetings that we're conducting at this particular time. And I want to tell this company tonight how it is that I am here tonight. And there's one word I will use, and we'll use it constantly tonight. We've read about it there in Ephesians 2 and 8, the word grace. God's favor to the undeserving. That's how it is that we're here tonight, preaching the gospel, seeking to make known the way of salvation. It's grace, God's favor to the undeserving. This little psalm that we've read, a little bit of background to it, it was a song that was written for pilgrims on their way to worship. There are 15 psalms of this kind, psalms of degrees, and it was written for those who were on their way up to Jerusalem in an older time, on their way up to Jerusalem to worship. And this psalm recalls deliverance from captivity, whatever that captivity was. No one is absolutely sure, but we're totally clear about this. It was deliverance that the people were enjoying. And on their way up to the place of worship, their mouths were filled with laughter, their tongues were filled with singing. Others were looking on, and they said, my, these people are happy people. And the answer is, the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad, or we are filled with joy. Now, as I give the story of grace in my life, I want to go back, and I want to go back one generation, and I want to think of, first of all, as we think of the word grace, I want to think about sovereign grace. That is just simply, I'm using that as an expression in relation to God's overruling ways in the affairs of men, and in my particular case, God's sovereign grace. I want to go back almost 90 years. Belfast, Northern Ireland, 1933. As that year drew to a close, my late father was born in that privileged city where the gospel was preached in every street corner. It was preached in churches, gospel halls and mission halls and open-air meetings in the corners of the streets of Belfast. My father was born in that city. He was the only child. His mother died when he was young. His father had no time for the gospel, no time for the Lord Jesus, no time for those who preached the gospel. He was a member, my father was too, of what we will call a non-evangelical church, a place of worship so-called that called itself a church, and they never, ever preached the gospel. They told people that because they were members of this church, because they had had their sprinkling of water on their head when they were babies, they were members of the family of God, and that heaven would ultimately be their home. That is the background in which he was brought up. And his father forbade him from going to places where the gospel was preached. They told these people that they were members of the church and inheritors of the kingdom of God. Can I just say, right as we run along, that is absolutely false doctrine. And it has ensnared multitudes who think by going to church and having their name on a church roll that somehow or other they're going to be in heaven at the end of life's journey. Not so, my friend, not so. And that was the background that my father was brought up in. So he never heard the gospel of truth. Never heard of the fact that before the God of heaven, he was a sinner, lost and guilty, undone and helpless. He'd never heard that Christ Jesus came into the world. Well, he'd heard that Christ had come, but he never understood or never was told why. Christ Jesus came into the world. Why? To save sinners. To save lost, guilty, helpless ones. He had an interest in spiritual things. I say that was suppressed. I swing across the Atlantic to 1936 or thereabouts on the island of Prince Edward Island there in the Maritimes of Canada. My dear mother was born there. Similar background to my father. Never knew each other, of course. There's thousands of miles between. Similar background, you're going to heaven because you're a member of this or this particular denomination. Forbidden by her father, who was hard against the gospel, forbidden to go to tent gospel meetings that were held within earshot of the home in which she was brought up. Gospel tents erected there, late brother Ramsey from PEI, preaching the gospel at the very end of my mother's garden where she was brought up, and she was forbidden to go. Not a very good start, you might say. No, it wasn't a good start. But think of that, I'm here tonight, saved by God's grace. What had happened? I want to say what happened is this: God's sovereign ways and God's sovereign grace. As my parents grew up, one, of course, my father in Northern Ireland, my mother in Prince Edward Island. Do you know what happened? Totally unknown to them. Both of them headed for the city of Toronto in Ontario. Both of them, unknown to each other. Father left Northern Ireland and made his way to Toronto. I'll say something about that in a moment. Perhaps I should say it now. He worked on the Avro Arrow project in Toronto in the late 50s. That was why he had gone. As far as he was concerned, he was going there to get money. And he was wanting to buy a farm back in Ireland when he'd made enough money. That's why he went. Well, I want to tell you, he got the farm, but it got something far, far better. Far, far better. The old farm, it's of no value compared to the value of his soul. And tonight he's in heaven.
And the farm's still lying there, and it's no use to him. But he's got God's salvation, and God brought him to Toronto. And there I want to say something. There he met friends. It was him and another friend that come from the north of Ireland. And they met some friends. And I call these people that my father met. I'd never met them. But I thank God for them tonight. People who have never met, never known. But they were friends of my father. They were the best friends he ever had. Do you know why? Because they saw this poor young fellow from Northern Ireland. They thought, this boy needs salvation. This boy needs to hear the gospel. Can I make this clear, abundantly clear tonight in this meeting? These were the best friends he ever had. And if someone in your life's experience calls themselves your friend and tries to keep you back from God and God's things and God's salvation, I want to tell you in God's name that that person is not a friend at all. That person is an enemy of your soul. Let's be clear about it now. This life is passing. Passing onward, quickly passing. But I ask thee, whither bound? And we can have all the friends in this world, and we can have a high time and a great time. But my dear friends, time's going to run out for you and me. And we're out into God's eternity. Don't let friends or people who claim to be friends keep you back from God's salvation and going on with the Lord Jesus. So those were the greatest friends my father ever had. And he and his friend one night in a church in Toronto, I'll say something about it in a moment, they realized for the first time that they were sinners before God. They realized that God had sent his son Jesus Christ to go to the cross to die so that God could forgive their sins. And my, they trusted the Lord Jesus. Guilty, lost, and helpless though they were, they cried out, Lord, save me. Just that simple prayer, and they were saved. And their lives were changed. And I want to tell you that both of them lived for over 70 years, or 60 years plus after that. And they proved that every day that God had saved them. And they were glad. I want to speak a word about my mother. 18-year-old girl taken to Toronto, moved there with her parents. A friend of her brother. She told me this just a few months ago. Was visiting their home and called her by name. Her name is Erla. Erla, you should go to that little church that's down around the corner along two blocks. The man wasn't saved. Told my mother she should go to this place. And she told me, she said, the second time I went, I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And you know what? It was the exact same place where my father was. And they met, and they eventually got married, and they returned to Northern Ireland in the late summer of 1959. Sovereign grace. But I must move on. I see time is moving on. 1964. I too was born in Belfast. I want to make this clear now. I was born a sinner. Like everyone else who has descended naturally from Adam. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And of course, because I was a sinner by nature, this is how it works. That nature soon began to display itself. That's just how it works. We are sinners, so then we start to commit sins. Wrong thoughts. Wrong words. Wrong deeds. That's just how it is for all humanity. For there is something radically wrong within. We have a sinful nature, and it comes pouring out in our lives. Put it now by the scriptures, the old prophet Isaiah does it so poetically. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. Sheep follow their nature. The poor creatures can't help themselves. There's just in their nature to stray.
And so it is likewise with you and me. It's a fallen nature. But I want to say I was privileged because I heard the gospel. Brought up in a place that called itself an evangelical Presbyterian church in the County Antrim in the village of Crumlin. I heard the gospel. I heard of a good shepherd who sought for the lost sheep. And I saw the power of the gospel in my parents' life. You know, Christianity ran from Sunday through to Saturday. It wasn't just for Sundays. And I know that though all had sinned and come short of the glory of God, and knew that we had offended God, I never can remember a time when I didn't know some of these hymns that we love and sing. And some of the gospel verses, like, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that anyone who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How we heard the story of the Lord Jesus. We heard the story of his birth. We heard of his sinless life. And we heard the story of the cross where Jesus bled and died. I have the book still sitting on a bookshelf at home in my study. Maybe we could criticize it in some ways. It's a picture book, it's a picture story book for children. I think it was only 4 or 5 when I was given it. And I remember always looking through the pictures. There's one picture depicting the cross of our Lord Jesus. And men with mocking faces on them, sitting at the foot of the cross. Oh, it touched a little boy. Touched, and I hope the day never comes when we're not touched by the story of the cross. God was speaking to a little boy. Seeking grace, sovereign grace, you see, became seeking grace. God speaking to a little boy, 5, 6, 7 years old. Not saved, but spoken to. Is there someone here like that tonight? God has spoken to you time and again. You know you need to be saved. You know the way of salvation. And yet you're not saved. I'll cut this story shorter. In the early 1970s, my parents moved to southwest Scotland for a little while. They stayed in Scotland ever since. But they moved to a little village, a little harbour village in the southwest of Scotland called Portpatrick. It was there my parents came into contact with Christians who gather the way we do here. They found a little gospel hall. And of course I was taken along there along with my 3 younger siblings. I'll never forget those days, a little boy in that hall. By this time I'm 8 years old. O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. I know I was just a little boy. I know there wasn't many years. But it always seemed to me the Saviour had been calling. Saviour had been calling. There used to be, in that hall, there was a Sunday school. There was a set of twins that used to go to that. They were younger than I was. They used to do their little, we'll maybe call it a party piece. These twins used to come and stand at the front of the hall. I can hear them yet. They used to sing 3 crosses standing side by side. Of broken law a sign. 2 for their own transgressions died. The centre, 1 for mine. God is speaking. Sovereign grace. Seeking grace. And still not saved. The family moved to the city of Glasgow in 1973. Were there for almost 2 years. Again, parents under difficult circumstances made the gospel the priority. The Christians there were so good to my family. I'll never forget them. Taken to those gospel meetings. I can't remember many of the sermons, but I can remember the hymns. Passing onward, quickly passing, but I ask thee, whither bound? I remember those meetings when the Christians were gathered to remember the Lord Jesus. There was a dear brother again who's now in heaven. Most of the brethren who were there are now in heaven.
As the people gathered and they were sitting remembering the Lord Jesus without announcing the numbers or anything else, a dear brother would start out the hymn, "Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lead me to Calvary." Impressions being made on a young boy in these days. God was calling. And in the summertime of 1974, Nine Gower Terrace in Glasgow. It's a highway through it all just now. I was over it last year just for a little look. There's now a highway over it all. The place is gone. But it was in that house in 1974. Just as a little boy of 9 years old. In simple, childlike faith, I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His grace I was saved through faith, not of works. No work of mine, but all on the basis of the work that Jesus Christ did at Calvary's cross so long ago. The work was all done, and it was to me to believe, simply believe. I was saved. I want to ask the question now. This meeting's getting near to the end. Are you saved? Are you saved? I'm not asking, do you say you're saved? Do you pretend you're saved? Do you want other people to think you're saved? I'm asking the question, are you saved? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you come the way a sinner ought to come? Just in my guilt and my need and my uncleanness and coming to the only one who can save us and crying for mercy. And from that day there's been, I've spoken about, sovereign grace and seeking grace and saving grace, because God in His grace saved me. And since that day there's been sustaining grace. That He that begins a good work in us will complete it until the day when Jesus comes. I was baptized in the late 1970s. Brought into local church fellowship. In 1983, moved to southwest Scotland, farming there. In 1986, married to a very special young woman who had also known the saving grace of God. And I want to tell you that grace has flowed on like a river. We have a son and a daughter. I'm so thankful to God for saving grace. The river of grace has flowed on. Both of them saved. In church fellowship, assembly fellowship. Again, I think of my parents' family, my siblings saved. And the gospel is being told to their families. There's now another generation. Little ones are hearing the gospel. Sovereign grace. Well, the whole thing didn't look too good at the start. But my, there's little ones of the fourth generation now hearing the gospel. I was busy with farming. God had always put in my heart an interest in the gospel and in the Lord's things. And I remember hearing one night in the gospel hall where we were members, a rousing gospel sermon. I can't even remember who it was that preached it. And I could take you to the spot on the A76 little road home that we took. And I remember turning to my wife and I said, I really wish I could preach the gospel like that. Do you know what she said? She said, You better get started. And do you know what? We did get started. I was encouraged by local brethren. Share in the gospel. A little word in the open street. A few months and years passed, a little word of ministry, a little word of encouragement for the saints. There was a brother there in particular, he could never preach, he knew that. But my, he encouraged me every turn in the way. You do it. You can go on with it. Get on with it. Do this and do that.
So with the Lord's help, we sought to preach the gospel and teach the word of God. A few meetings in other places. I'll cut the story short. In 2012, I believe that God made it very clear to me that I should leave that farming business behind and preach the gospel full time. In 2013, it had taken me 30 odd years to work my way into that business. You can't just walk away in 30 minutes. So we made appropriate arrangements. And in 2013, I was commended to the grace of God. God has opened up the door to Western Canada in particular. So glad to be here. So glad to be here tonight to preach the gospel of the grace of God. Let me just run back over this one more time. Dear friend, you're a sinner. By nature and practice, God loves you. The proof of that is Calvary. Calvary love. Where the Lord Jesus died for sinners like you and me. He rose from the dead. He's now in glory. Tonight the word, the challenge comes to you. He's willing, he's ready, he's able to save. To rescue you from the consequences of your sins. He can forgive your sins. Will you come to him tonight? Will you come to him tonight? And then like those in the psalm that we started with. Yes, others will see the difference. And you'll be able to say, just like those in the psalm, when people ask you, you'll be able to say, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad.